Well, as we said earlier, welcome to the beginning of the Advent season of Christmas. I think Christmas is a great season among many seasons. And you're thinking to yourself, aren't there just four? Well, yeah, there's winter, and then there's the spring, and then there's summer and fall. But inside of all those seasons are other seasons like the Christmas season, and then there's hunting season. Those of you that might like that. And then inside of hunting season is rifle season and bow season. And those are more familiar terms to some of us than others. There's a lot of seasons inside the world that on our calendar that we like to engage in. But the Christmas season probably has to be, probably for some people, it's quite a bit encouraging. And it's a fun time because people tend to be a little nicer. From what I understand, we didn't have nearly the catastrophes from Black Friday this year that we had in previous years. So people are getting a little nicer during the Christmas season. And even in our church, a Broncos fan and a Kansas City Chiefs fan can sit just chairs from each other and sing the same songs. I think Christmas does some of that kind of stuff, doesn't it? And I've been accused of being a Broncos fan today because of the sweater I'm wearing. I just tell everybody it's red, and so it could change the focus just a little bit there. I mean, the Christmas time is something that everybody gets involved in, and you get the decorations. I want to just thank everybody who participated in decorating the church. It looks great, getting us ready for our 4 weeks together leading up to Christmas Eve. And you can step outside in the lobby area there and then that black wall, take a photo, put it on your social media, invite your friends during this entire season to let them know that we're here and we're worshiping our Savior. The Advent time of the year, though, is for you and I to take a look more than just an extension of the holiday season. The Advent is, as we said earlier, a coming or arrival. It's really marked. The Advent is a word that means more waiting, expectation, anticipation, longing. As I said before, we lit the candle earlier, it links the past with the present and the future. It looks back at the celebration that Jesus was here and the hope that he fulfilled in his coming, while at the same time, with eager anticipation, it looks for the second coming of Christ when he returns for his people. And a season like we're in, as we stated earlier, is marked by such craziness. The Advent gives us a second, like we did a few minutes ago, to just stop, pause, and prepare our hearts for a story that's far greater than our own, the story of God's redeeming love for our world. It's a season, then, that you and I can be digging deep into the reality of what it really means when God sent his Son into the world, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God with us, even in the times of the celebration, in times of darkness, in times of pain. Because he came, this means that he's here and he makes a way. And whenever Jesus Christ came and he was born, with all the many things that he brought, one of the most powerful things that he brought was hope. Last year, in the summer of 2017, two longtime commercial fishermen, John Aldridge and Anthony Sosinski, maybe you heard this story, set out to fish from Montauk, Long Island. As they headed out to sea, cruising about 40 miles offshore, Anthony went below deck and took a nap, a long nap, while John stayed up on top to get ready for the fish they were about to haul in. He was pulling on a handle with everything that he had when it snapped, sending him backwards right off the back of the boat. The boat was on autopilot, so it just kept on cruising. When John surfaced from underneath the water, began to scream, knowing that Anthony would not hear him, and in moments, watching the boat cruise out a distance, John was treading alone in the water in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Without a life vest, thinking, this is the way I'm going to die. If there's ever been a pretty hopeless situation, I would think that one is one. Or is it? He was trying to calm down and stay afloat, and he realized that his boots were very buoyant. He got an idea. He took one of them off, emptied it out of water, and plunged it back into the water so it created an air pocket. It floated. So John stuck his boots under his arms and used them as flotation devices, and a flicker of hope emerged. John thought of his family. The fact that no one, sharks that swam about 15 feet away, fortunately for him, they didn't care about him much. He tried to set some goals, beginning with, I just want to live until morning. 4 hours later, Anthony wakes up in the bottom of the boat and realizes John's off. He calls the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard immediately puts into its measures of searching and procedures. Even the Coast Guard commander admitted, though, I don't have a lot of hope of finding him in so much open water. But John made it alive till morning and tried to keep his hope alive a few more hours. And as the hours kept passing by, there was no sign of any help arriving. Finally, though, he spotted a fishing buoy and was able to reach it and climb onto it. A new surge of hope emerged. In less than an hour after getting on that buoy, a Coast Guard helicopter flew nearby and spotted John waving and splashing. They pulled him to safety. They said, we've been looking for you for 9 hours today. John said, yeah, I've been looking for you for 12. Miraculously, John survives. What an amazing story. Why do we like those so much? Because they give us hope. Because if John's boots float, maybe mine will too. For some people, hope is marked by big events in their lives. Maybe, do we have a picture of a man proposing? Maybe she'll say yes. Maybe she'll say yes, she says hope. I didn't risk it a whole lot. I don't know if any of you knew this or not, but I announced to Rosalie I wanted to marry her and ask her to be my wife at the halftime of a basketball game with everybody present. How was she going to say no during that? That would have been a little rough. I mean, the second half of basketball game would have been a bummer, right? So it's kind of had her in a box there. How about for those of you that have you known somebody who's gone into the hospital and he's given you the chances, or the doctors talk to your family member about the chances of beating cancer. Or maybe hope for some people is a faint line on that stick when you're struggling to get pregnant. See, hope is the fuel of faith and dreams. Hope will celebrate what we're celebrating this first Sunday of the Advent, the hope. I mean, in your notes it says that key truth is Advent is a season of hope. The hope of the Advent, number one in your notes, is revealed in God's Word. I mean, it's one thing for sure in life. We're all going to experience some tough times. It was certainly true when the prophet Isaiah received a word from God. The hope was the promise of the coming of the Christ child. We're most familiar with it in verse number 14 of Isaiah 7, where it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. This was just the informational piece, actually, in the passage of Scripture, because an exciting piece came even farther along when in two chapters later, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 9, it said, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. There's hope. No more gloom. Light instead of darkness. When Jesus came, this promise was fulfilled and made the word even more encouraging. There are his promises to his people both long ago and today. They're a piece of him. They're beacons of hope. They're reminders that can penetrate into our hearts and our spirits and assure us that no matter what we're facing, no matter how bleak tomorrow holds, no matter how bad the pain, God will never leave us or forsake us, and nothing can separate us from him. I mean, if you're looking at those passages of Scripture, you can feel what they may have been feeling at the time, that there was hope coming, and if you're not alone, God is with us. That Emmanuel means that he's here, he will be with us, and nothing can take that away. Scripture is filled with stories and promises that can rekindle supernatural hope within us. There's a small story told in Mark chapter number 5, one that we're not often is brought to the forefront of context today, but it's a great story about hope. It's about a woman. We don't even know her name. She was living in distress for a good part of her life. For 12 years, this woman had been bleeding somehow with an issue of blood that no one had been able to help her with. Not one doctor had been able to figure out how to help her condition. it would only grow worse. This was a condition that was affecting her very life every single day. This woman heard about this Jesus who was going to be passing through town. She'd heard the stories. She'd heard the miracles. She'd heard about people being healed. And she believed. Hope awoke inside of her. The hope of healing, the hope of a new life drove her to take some action. She thought in her mind, if I can just get close enough to touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If this Jesus is who he says he is, he can heal me. And she did. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. Even Jesus said, "Who touched me?" I wonder if she responded somewhat with some timid words. "I did." I wonder if he just wanted her to look in the eyes of the person who loved her more than anyone else could ever. And when he looked in her eyes, I wonder if there was a chance that she might have remembered what some have talked about Isaiah saying in verse number 1 and 2 of 9, Isaiah, "There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress." Those people who face long-term illnesses. Maybe those who are in tough situations. As we move through the Advent, I would like to encourage you to dig into the words of the Bible expectantly, because God is with us. We can take hope that we're never alone and that he's always working in and among us, and he's not done with us yet. And his greatest and final work of healing for those who are longing for that will one day come for all those who have been trusted in Christ to be with him in the place of no more pain, no more crying, and no more tears. All of God's children will someday face healing, complete and perfect in heaven. That's because it's revealed in God's word. The hope of the Advent then also sustains us. The hope of Christ's coming sustains us in the long journey. I'm not talking about the one that is so privately focused in our personal journey. I'm talking about the long journey for the restoration of humanity's relationship with God. The journey to a time and place when we will one day walk with God in perfect, sinless relationship like we did as humanity in the very beginning of time. That it's going to be back there in the beginning of time like it was, because God walked freely with Adam and Eve, and he was with us as humanity and enjoyed the wholeness and the intimacy with God. But in Adam and Eve chose to sin, and the choice divided God and humans. The brokenness of our world that we know far too well is the ongoing result of this. One day it will be better than that, because why? The enemy will be cast away, and there will be no chance of ever being led away by lies again. Jesus coming and living and dying defeated the failure that the first Adam brought on and made us a way to have a relationship with him, and assured us that one day Satan would be defeated once and for all. In the meantime, though, we live in this tension that we're stuck in with the same as the Hebrew people deal with. When things are good, sometimes we tend to forget about God. When things are bad, we cry out for God's help again. The promise of the coming of the Messiah sustained them, giving them hope, giving them, causes them, because when he shows up, it's the greatest time of need, often unexpectedly. In the midst of that long journey of hope, Isaiah reminded the people about this promise of hope. And a few verses after that, 1 and 2 in chapter 9, is one that you all know very familiar, because it's a part of the Christmas stories and the songs. It says this. Why don't you read this with me? I think it would be a good interjection part right here for our Sunday morning together. Let's read this passage of scripture all in unison together. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Can you imagine the hope that would spring from people's minds and their hearts as they were to hear that in that day? The promise that one day, no more ups and downs, no more backsliding, no more pleading for help in crisis, only to forget him in prosperity, only to be cast back again into bondage as the children of Israel continually had happened to them. Of the greatness of this government and peace, there will be no end. It's going to be this forever. This hope fueled them, the Israelites, the children of Israel, when the Assyrians came. It gave them hope. This hope fueled them when the Babylonians came and carried them off into captivity. And then years later, that same hope motivated them when they returned back to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel, and then the rebuilding of the wall under Nehemiah. God with us brings a hope that will sustain us. Things will turn around. Because not only is it revealed in God's word, but the hope of the Advent sustains us. But then lastly, in your notes, it makes the unlikely likely. It makes the unlikely likely. Zechariah, we know him from the Christmas stories. He knows this all too well. He was likely just about the perfect individual in a community you could have. He had a loving wife, and he had a great job of fulfillment as a priest. He had been faithful, and therefore his respect among the community was great. But there was one thing lacking in his life, him and Elizabeth's life. They were unable to have children. They were too old to have any when God's promise of God with us entered his life in an amazing way. He was performing his duties as a priest. It's found in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 8. It says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John. Now, John was the promised one who'd prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of Jesus Christ. The big picture of this, however, is that we most notice the personal story of hope that's here. Zechariah receives a special angelic delivery of a message. He was in a bit of a shock. We're too old. This is not possible. As a result of that, God mutes him until John is born. And when Jesus came, so did the hope of unlikely becoming likely. For those of you that are listening to that this morning, you may be thinking, that's all nice and great for those people thousands of years ago, but what about for us? What about for me? They weren't fighting cancer. Their spouse didn't just walk out on them. Their spouse hasn't passed away. Their families aren't at odds. They didn't lose their job without any warning, with bills to pay and debt stacking up and kids expecting Christmas. I know. And all I can tell you is this, that no matter what kind of problems and struggles that you're facing right now, no matter what kind of season of darkness and pain you're in, let me encourage you not to abandon hope. Hope is alive. Even in our deepest pain and most hopeless circumstances, hope is alive because God is with us. How can we know that? I look back on these stories. How can you find the tiny spark of hope when we're on the verge of giving up? Trust me, I know all too well what that's like. And I can only think of several ways that all of us can tap in and rekindle and connect with God's hope during an Advent of this season, no matter what kind of circumstances you're facing. One of those is take a daily pause and reflect on the fact that God came near. Two, join with other believers. Maybe they're close to your age. Maybe they're in the same life season. Maybe they're in the same area of work. And communicate and talk and discuss about what God's doing in your life or maybe the things that you're up against. Number three, open the Word. Go to the Word and ask Him, I need your hope restored again, that you're here with me and that this situation I'm going to get pulled through on. And spend some time allowing Him, instead of getting tricked into the more busy is more better, wake up to the reality that more intimate time with the Almighty is better. And there's where hope gets restored. Let God then begin to do what God does best, and that is rescue His kids. That's what I would say. In Romans 15:13, I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture that says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of His Holy Spirit. Oh, I hope this year you don't miss that. Father in heaven,
as we come to you today and we think about all the things that you've given to us. But even though we want to reflect on the positive, Father, we need to be honest and before you and realize that there are things that are insurmountable against us, circumstances that are really out of our control for some of us. Oh, the hope we need to have deep within you. Would you allow us to have a piece of that again? Would you allow us to feel it in such a way that we would look at those trials and look at those circumstances and see them the way you see them? Father, allow us to have the joy of watching you take care of those circumstances in our life. Father, we also ask that you would use this offering this morning to further the work right here in our community, that we can reach people who do not yet know your Son, Jesus Christ, and bring them to a knowledge of him. In Jesus' name, amen.